And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, Scott Burnside here with a special edition of the Athletic Hockey Show, Two-Man Advantage, and Pierre LeBrun joining me, and so excited, joining us today from St. Paul, Minnesota, where his San Jose Sharks are preparing to face the Minnesota Wild on Friday night, Patrick Marleau, who is on the verge of breaking Gordie Howe's all-time NHL games played record Monday night in Las Vegas. Patrick, it's great to have you here. I've been thinking about this all day, and I was wondering when you were packing for this road trip. You've had a couple of road trips since 1997, and I wondered when you were packing for this one, whether it felt a little different knowing what was going to happen during this trip?
Yeah, it definitely did. I think, this kids are homeschooling, so this morning was a little hectic, and then running around going to get COVID testing and coming back. But, definitely had that night in mind packing for this road trip.
You know, Scotty mentioned 1997 when you started your career. How different has life on the road been for you over the years when you compare the late 90s and to today and what players, the way players hang out? And I mean, it really almost like three different generations, I would think, that you've seen.
Yeah, it's definitely changed over the years for sure. I remember coming into League 18 and I had a great group of veteran guys. And I think by default, going out to dinner with those guys, they start getting you into wine and things like that.
Sure.
So that was one of the first things that that I learned as a rookie was ordering some good bottles of wine, I guess. And then the game's changed so much as well over the years. And what was the second part of that question? I think I got stuck on the wine. Now I'm thinking of all the wine.
Well, no, I'm glad you brought up the wine because that's one of my favorite things in life, and especially when I'm around San Jose. I remember asking you, or it wasn't me, but I was at the news conference at the O2 Cup final when Igor Larionov, they had a triple overtime game against Carolina, and someone asked him, I think he was 40 at the time, and he said, how are you staying at this level, and how come you're not tired? He goes, red wine was his answer at the time. but in all seriousness for you, Patrick, I mean, incredible durability, skating like the wind all these years. How has your nutrition changed over the years? Because we know that's changed for athletes.
Yeah, it definitely has. I think right when I first started coming in or come into the league, I think, that was kind of the starting point where guys were getting more focused in the off season to come into training camp in shape already, not use it to get in shape. And then for me, as I started to get older and played more years in the league, I was like, okay, if I want to keep doing this, what I'm going to have to keep looking at different avenues to pursue, whether that be nutrition or different types of workouts. But it slowly crept in, and then what also has helped lately is teams are taking more of a hands-on approach and having meals prepared for their players so they know what's going into their bodies. Mm-hmm. The catering on the plane, there's some great places to eat on the road, and you still get those like Philly cheesesteaks and pizza and stuff, but they have the options for salads. They bring on juice, all these different types of juices, and so they take away snacks and things on the plane, so the guys aren't eating chocolate bars and all that. So it's definitely evolved, and it's a lot easier when you have the team supplying the right food and the right atmosphere to play your best.
Patrick, you mentioned the veteran team that you joined in San Jose, and one of the guys who joined was late, if I'm correct, in your first season was Brian Marchment. He told me today that the first time he played was against you in your first game and tried to crush you at center ice, and he said he ended up on the short end of the stick. But the best part about Brian Marchment, as far as my part of this, is that I understand that he helped introduce you to your wife, Christina, who tells me that when she first saw you, she thought you were an usher at the Shark Tank, didn't know you were a player.
Yeah, all that's true. I remember my first shift. I remember Mush trying to, you know, take a good get. That was their first game of the season too, so he wanted to get his first hit, and I think I toe-picked and luckily fell down, and he went over top of me, but... And then, yeah, I own the great life that I have with my lovely wife and family, you know, introducing me to Christina. So, you know, those are the type of vets, you know, he was looking out for me right from day one. So as soon as he got there, that was great. This great of him to do that for me.
Well, if I can just jump in, it's kind of come a little bit full circle for at least from Brian's perspective, because a couple of years ago, I think you were at a Leaf training camp. And who was at the same camp, but his son, Mason. And I must admit, Brian said he's had a little trouble getting his head around the fact that, you know, that you guys were sort of shoulder to shoulder at a training camp. And it was his boy.
Yeah, no, it was, I remember going over to his house for dinner, and, you know, Mason was just a little tyke back then. So, you know, playing mini sticks or whatever we did, have dinner together there, but he's not that little tyke anymore. He's a big boy and he can handle himself out there. So it's good to see that, you know, him having some success.
So Patrick, I also reached out to a couple of your former teammates. So Scotty, I'm going to go through these two former teammates here, if you'll let me go on a little run here. One of them is Dan Boyle, who started by texting back that you're such a great person, happy, quiet, just basically this amazing guy, as he says. But he was trying to find something funny to share. And he said, you know, for many years when Dan played in San Jose, he was in charge of the music in the Sharks dressing room. And he says, and as a lot of people watching this and listening to this know, Dan Boyle even toured with was with Faith No More one year. And that's sort of his style of music. Mine too, by the way. And so he says in this text here, that all the years he played the music in the room, the look on this, quote, Saskatchewan never heard anything out of this ordinary face of Patrick when I played some of my gems was quite priceless. That's one of my favorite memories. He had like a look of a deer in the headlights. I think it took him about 6 years, but I'm confident I converted him into a couple of songs.
Yeah. He has some really hardcore stuff that I was shaking my head at, but I went to a couple concerts with him, and I kind of asked him, like, hey, what are we, you know, what kind of music do these guys play? And he goes, oh, you don't worry, I've been playing in the locker room, you'll love it. So, and I did. So he wasn't too far off there.
Now, of course, I reached out to Joe Thornton, and I really enjoyed last year. It seems like 10 years ago now, but when we all met in Buffalo at your hotel, and you, me, and Joe sat down and went down memory lane as well. But Joe texted me last night, and he said, well, first of all, ask him about the time when we kept rooming together, even though the rules had changed and we didn't have to room together anymore. He goes, we were just having too much fun, so we kept it up for another year. But
yeah, that was the part of the, I was going to say that in the your how things have changed on the road over the years, but that was one of the things, having roommates, and that, yeah, I'll never forget that they changed the rules and we just kept rooming together. it just seemed to be easier, and then I think they tried giving us a couple other different roommates, and then we're going for our own rooms. So.
Now he's got a couple more here. You might be mad at him for this one, but he says, asking about how he loves to play cards in Vegas. He's like a kid at the tables.
I enjoy when all the guys there are having a good time in Vegas. And those are the good memories too. You know, being, going there as a group and blowing off some steam sometimes.
In fact, before the Golden Knights had a team, really, back in the day, exactly. And finally, on a serious note, he did say that if Patrick Marleau likes you, he literally will do anything for you. He really is a guy with the biggest heart. And that was from Jumbo's last text last night. And you know, that's a relationship I think that you guys will always be identified with each other for all your years in San Jose together. And interestingly, you bolted first to go to Toronto, and now he's done that. I mean, you guys kept in touch and to see how he likes it compared to you, or?
We've been you know, texting. We've FaceTime right at the start of the season, and yeah, I think he was over at Austin's place when I was FaceTiming him. So he's taking care of those guys now. So
like you did, yeah.
And he can see how great they are as people and as players. So it's good to see. But yeah, it's been a little weird seeing him in the Toronto uniform. But I'm sure it was when I was there as well.
Patrick, one of the great things about my chat with Christina was that it also led to her sending a few pictures. And there's a picture of your son, Landon, and at the All-Star game in 2009 in Montreal, I think. And it's perfect because he's got a Joe Sakic action figure in one hand and a Gordie Howe action figure in another. But can you share the story? I think you actually ran into Gordie at the All-Star weekend. He may have actually played some mini sticks with Landon and some of the other kids. Do I have that right?
Yeah, you know, he did. We, you know, at the All-Star games, they have a NHL PA room where you can go get food and everything. So we were down there, and there's always a hallway outside of those big rooms. So he brought our mini sticks, and we were outside the room playing mini sticks. I don't know for how long. And here comes Gordy around the corner, and he just walked right up to me, grabbed a stick, and started playing with Landon. And I think I left my coat. My phone was in my coat and everything. But that, I'll never forget that image or forget that that day. He took that time to play with my son, and I'm like he has no idea who he's playing with right now, but I tell that story to him now, and he gets a big smile on his face.
Did you over the years obviously you and Gordie are both from Saskatchewan, from small towns, did you cross paths much with Gordie at all? I mean, apart from being in Montreal at All-Star, like, did you have those kinds of moments as you were going through your career or when you were younger?
There, very few, I think. You always knew when he was in the building, go play Detroit. And, you see him in the hallway and you're kind of, he's one of those, he's a hockey god, legend. And you just, maybe he'll see you and say hi, or maybe you can go over and say hi real quick. But, yeah, he probably, a handful of times over the seasons at All-Star games, things like that. But he was always really genuine, nice guy, and took the time to come shake my hand or, talk about Saskatchewan a little bit here and there. So it was, and I always loved when he grabbed your hand because he has these big old hands on him. And I loved growing up listening to the stories that he would come back in the summer and throw hay bales and do all these things. And I'm like, hey, I did that growing up. And, so it's just to see somebody from Saskatchewan and to be, one of the greatest of all time, and to have him from small town Saskatchewan, give me a lot of hope of maybe making it one day.
And what does this record mean to you, Patrick? I mean, this is as tough a sport as there is, and to have been able to answer the bell all these years, all these games, what does that mean to you? I know you're a humble guy, but deep down to be associated obviously with Gordie Howe and breaking the record, but your resilience and your ability to play at this level.
Yeah, there's always something about me that I've always just want to play and just want to be on the ice, and that's probably part of the reason I didn't have that many penalty minutes either. I don't want to go sitting there. I want to be on the ice. I don't want. And whatever I could do, I just wanted to be out there trying to, help our team win. And I don't know exactly where I was going with that, but I think what's so great about what's going on now is I'm getting text messages, and I'm able to thank people that have supported me throughout my whole career. And you don't get to play that many games by yourself. It's you and you alone. It's a support staff. It's my, right from the start, right from my parents, my brother and sister, and my, obviously my wife and kids. I think all the sacrifices that they've gone through, and over the years to let me play and follow my dream of winning the Stanley Cup and playing hockey. Can't thank them enough. But and then you know, the chiropractors, training staff, there's so many people that you get to meet along the way that help you out. It's crazy. And the more and more interviews I'm doing and the more texts I'm getting, it's not a short list. It's a very long list that took a lot of people to help me get to this point.
You talk about, you know, sort of where you came from and you know, what your parents taught you growing up. And I talked to your mom and dad, and your dad said the same thing. He said, you never liked to go to the sin bin. You always worried if you were going to get the penalties. But I talked to Mark Howe the other day, and Mark said, you know, he thought of his dad at the end, and his dad still wanted to keep playing. And he said, we never talked about records at the table. We never talked about those kinds of things because it didn't matter. And he said, I'm sure it's the same with Patrick. I watch him and he looks like someone who plays because he still loves the game that way. And I thought it was kind of touching because he said, I know my dad would love to have been at the game to watch Patrick break my record. And I thought that was really kind of special. So
that is very special to hear that. And I think that is kind of how I feel about, you know, I'm just playing. I just keep playing, you know, I just love playing. And, but I've also been told and by a number of people to try and, you know, really enjoy this time. And I'm going to look forward to, you know, if, you know, happens, then, just thanking everybody who's helped me along the way.
And you're doing it in the Sharks uniform, Patrick. And, you know, what does that mean to you? And, you know, cause you were traded to Pittsburgh last year, you signed with Toronto a few years ago, but you're back. Where, of course, it's really been your NHL home.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to do it in a Sharks uniform for sure. And like you said, having played here so many years, so many games, it's you know, fitting that it is going to be in a Sharks uniform. And you know, the Sharks have obviously been great to myself and my family throughout my whole career. So I'm excited about that.
Are you nervous about it, Patrick? I mean, I wonder what, because you're real close now, and I wonder. Mm-hmm. If there is a sense of nerves about it or whether you try and push that away, even though it's getting closer by the minute, what do you think it'll be like for you?
Yeah. I'm trying to push it away, I think, is the big, just take it one game at a time here. But I've also, like I said, I've been doing interviews. I've been talking to a lot of people and getting text messages and, you know, guys coming up to me after games and, or even during the game saying something. And so it's definitely in the forefront of the mind, but they just go out and try and play. But I'm super, super appreciative to, you know, all the people that have reached out and you know, wished me luck.
I saw that last week that I guess Anze Kopitar and Jeff Carter went over after the game was over, and he, you know, the Kings and the Sharks. I covered both those playoff series as intense as it gets, but you know. I think the respect factor there, and what was that like to hear from them at the buzzer?
Yeah, that right there, what you said was huge. I mean, I think I played with Carter at the Olympics and things like that. But having those battles, you know, it's in those playoff battles. It's like you said, that respect, and for them to take the time to come over and shake my hand was something I'll never forget, and it's really. Special that they did that.
Have you mentioned the people who've been reaching out, and has there been someone that surprised you, or like, are you hearing people from back in Aneroid or Vanguard where you first started to play your games, or in Swift Current, or, you know, we played your hockey in junior hockey in Seattle. Are there people that have maybe surprised you? You're like, oh my gosh, I hadn't heard from them in 100 years. Or
Kind of funny thing, during this quarantine, one of my teammates from junior started a group chat for all the old Seattle Thunderbirds. So they're definitely in the group chat. They're, you know, saying some really nice things about me and congratulating me. And that's something pretty cool that I look forward to, you know, seeing those guys again one day.
And we've got to be careful here. I don't want us to sound like we're saying this is the, that, you know, this is your final year. You've never said that, Patrick. So I got to be careful here. that we're not overlapping those sentiments.
No. Still look forward to playing. So
that's, well, that's, I mean, you know what Jumbo says, 5 more years in his case. So
yeah. Oh yeah, 5 more, bud.
There you go. A little Joe Thornton action there from Patrick Marleau. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, it's been great to catch up with you. It's so exciting. I'll tell you, I've been, you know, talking to some people for quite some time now, and I can tell you, people can't wait to get back to me to talk about you. I was talking to Kelly Rudy, with whom you stayed during your rookie season, Kelly and his family. And he still remembers the Christmas gift you bought, he and the family. It was a DVD player. And he still remembers you helping put together the Barbie camper and a basketball hoop for the girls. And do you remember those moments when you were basically the big brother for the Rudy girls?
Yeah, no, I can't thank them enough for taking me in. But those are some pretty special times, with Kelly and Donna and their family. And that was a late night. Those weren't too easy to put together, that's for sure.
Well, listen, Patrick, I just want to say on my behalf, I've covered the league for 26 years and you've been one of the classiest hockey players to be around, to talk to interview. This is the way you've handled yourself. And, you know, sometimes I think some of these achievements and records happen to athletes for a reason. I think, you know, I really do believe in karma. And I think in your case, this is an amazing achievement. And I think it's absolutely warranted. And I know you hate talking about yourself. So the next few days are going to be probably, that's going to be the tough side for you. But I just want to say congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you very much. And it's been a pleasure, you know, working with you over these years and getting to know you. And I appreciate that.
All right, just before we let you go, now we were talking with Ben Guerrero from the Sharks about how to set this up, and we were joking that the Marleau statue will go right next to the LeBrun statue, and I can only hope that you get in a clause in there, Patrick, that yours has to be, the pedestal has to be at least 6 inches higher. Just make sure that's happening.
You know what? I'm the only guy from the East that came out to cover the Sharks over the years. You know, like all you know, like the you know. Yeah. Someone had to go watch some pretty amazing hockey, and it was holy smokes, a lot of great playoff memories. Yeah.
All right, well, Patrick, thanks for coming to hang out with Pierre and I tonight, and I echo Pierre's sentiments and the best of luck between, well, whenever you decide to hang them up, but certainly through Monday night when you will become the all-time NHL games played player. Good on you, and thanks for coming and spending some time with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, my friend. Oh, that was it was great to chat with Patrick. And I'm curious, a couple of things I want to ask you.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Here, I'm sure, you know, even, you know, as you mentioned, you reach out to Dan Boyle and Joe Thornton. I'm sure as you've chatted with people, as we've approached this milestone, have you had the same kind of feeling? Like a lot of people I talked to for the story I'm writing on Patrick were like, never thought this would happen. Mark Howe, who was amazing and really supporters of Patrick Marleau, as I mentioned, he was like, honestly, I never thought anyone would break my dad's record for games played. And here we are.
Yeah, it is amazing, Scott. And you know, he's Patrick Marleau has been such a durable player over the years. And, you know, I was only half joking when I asked him about how different things have changed in terms of what he eats and how he trains, because, you know, I guess I should have mentioned this, but I didn't. But I remember my early years when I went to cover Sharks series, once in a while, I'd catch the team after the morning skate eating at Original Joe's, which is this sort of famous landmark downtown San Jose, where you get a big bowl of pasta. And you know, I don't know that they're doing that anymore, I guess is what I'm saying. But But, you know, the evolution of the game and how he has kept current with that and his skating ability, right, over all this time, you know, it's a vicious game. And the history of star players having to endure through adversity and injuries and knocking off games played because of it, that's what's so amazing, is that you can play this game at this level and achieve this.
Well, I talked to Mike Ricci, who came to San Jose early in Patrick Marleau's tenure from Colorado, and he's been with the team in a development mm-hmm. role for years and years. And he said something very similar. He said, "I've seen Patrick change his workout regimen, his diet, probably, I can't remember what he said, 10 times or whatever over the course of his career." But you're right. If you don't adapt, there's no way you're playing.
Think about how different the game is. He started in 97. I mean, you were covering the Leafs. I was around the Leafs back then. That was sort of the Gary Roberts era. Remember where Gary Roberts had really started a wave of you know, the nutrition shakes and the – but yeah. Those were sort of really chiseled muscle hockey players in the mid to late 90s. The big defensemen, the Darren Hatchers of the world, Scott Stevens. That's what Patrick Marleau came into in this league. And to see the evolution where now it's really about being sleek and slender but tough and durable and sort of, you know, players doing yoga and a lot of players are vegan. All of the stages to have excelled through that and to adapt through that is amazing. And you know, I don't think he's kidding when we asked him. He's never come out and said this is his last season, by the way.
It wouldn't surprise me if he was back. You know, why not? So before we wrap up, though, in my mind, it's a given. But, you know, never assume anything. But to me, Patrick Marleau, who is going to – he's going to play more NHL games maybe than anyone will ever play. Is that a sure ticket to the Hall of Fame? I mean, for me, I assume it is, but – what do you think? Is Patrick Marleau a slam dunk Hall of Famer?
Yeah, slam dunk. I feel like I reserve that for, you know, just the elite of the elite. And he is an elite player, but I mean, like, he is a Hall of Famer. Like, there's no hesitation for me. And again, because of this achievement, because of his consistency, and he reminds me a lot in some ways of the way Mark Recchi was a Hall of Famer, another guy that was durable and put up numbers every year and was a great player. I think there's some parallels there for sure. And yeah, and I know that people have debated that with Patrick Marleau, whether he is or not. To me, he is future Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, you know, the fact that there's not a Stanley Cup ring. I mean, that is a factor for some.
But we have to stop that debate because now we're about to go to 32 teams and on a, like, you know, a lot of the guys with a lot of Stanley Cups are not taking anything away, but are playing in eras where there were six teams and you know, 21 teams. I mean, you're going to have a lot of great players who aren't going to win Stanley Cups. Like, to me, that can't be certainly among the more important criteria, in my opinion, anymore.
Right. Yeah. You don't need to raise your voice.
I'm not raising my voice. You on that,
but it's interesting. And sometimes people forget 2 gold medals for Patrick Marleau. And I talked to Ken Hitchcock, and I thought he had a great perspective because, of course, in both Vancouver and Sochi, that Patrick Marleau was sort of the perfect Canadian Olympian because he did whatever he asked him to do. He had no ego. He was completely there was no management. He just was self-sufficient, just did whatever he wanted. And Ken Hitchcock said that he was such an important player because the younger guys took their cues from how he held himself mm-hmm. and how he approached that there. And I thought that was really interesting. And again, you know, that's something that is part of a Hall of Fame resume as far as I'm concerned.
So. Yeah. And not easy for those star players when they play for Team Canada or for any country, but to adjust to your new role, to your reduced role, right?
Yeah.
De facto reduced. Even Sidney Crosby's role is reduced on Team Canada because of all the great players you have on the team. And Marleau was really good penalty killers in some of those Olympics and smart player, had the trust of the Canadian coaching staff.
That's it.
Because you don't need every guy to show up at those tournaments and be the guy that has to score. And so I always thought, you know, I think you're bang on what Hitch said about Marlowe being one of the guys you didn't have to convince early. He was already there in terms of his role. He understood what it was about.
Good stuff. All right, my friend. It's so much fun to do this. And I got to tell you, in putting together the story, and you and I have been talking about this, but you know, given the times that we've had for the last year and a half, it's been a real treat to talk to people who invariably talk about what a good human being Patrick Marlowe is. Never mind, oh yeah, he is going to pass Gordie Howe's all-time games played record, but he's a really great human being, great teammate, great father, husband, all those kinds of things. So it's been fun to put together, and I can't wait for Monday night to watch. I think it's going to be an emotional moment.
History, for sure. I wonder if Joe Thornton got Patrick in trouble with that comment about playing cards in Vegas. Anyway.
That's all good. When you play this many games, there's a lot of water that can go under the bridge. So. All right, my friend. So what else do we have? We should be talking about, of course, Ian Mendez, Haley Salvian on the Athletic Hockey Show Monday at the Athletic. So don't miss that. And you should check out our comments section for each podcast episode at the Athletic app, and rate and subscribe to the Athletic Hockey Show on Apple. And if you aren't a subscriber, go to theathletic.com/hockeyshow and receive a subscription for just $3.99 per month. That is incredible. And you and I will be back for our regular edition of Two Man Advantage at the Athletic Hockey Show on next week in our normal time. Pierre, good work by you, my friend.
Right on, right on.